Welcome y'all to Backwoods Obscura, a podcast dedicated to the lore, legends, and myths surrounding the creatures that may lurk in your backyard. My name's Hewitt.
I'm Chris. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, dude. A little tired. It's late.
Yeah, I think we're both pretty, tired out from work, but I mean, that's kind of normal. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I know why you're tired too.
Yeah, baby. Plus, I've been up since midnight. I went to sleep at 7 yesterday, woke up at midnight, had a baby since then.
My wife has been, not to give away too much, but my wife is a paralegal.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been in trial, and she has just finished that trial. And, she took a half day yesterday and was like, it's time to sleep.
Anything with the court system's that way.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Especially with, the stuff she deals with. I'm not going to give away too much on that. But after that trial, she's just like, I'm going to sleep. But we've also been watching Delicious in Dungeon together.
It is. It's so good.
I got so fucking mad that the series, it's just going to be released piecemeal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the fucking early 2000s or something.
Oh, yeah, we get one new episode a week, like we used to.
I hate it. I want to, because it's the first anime that I enjoy in such a long time. I think the last time I actually sat down and watched an anime was like, oh god.
Since we're talking about Netflix, give Zom 100 a shot. It's only 12 episodes. The whole season's up. Concept is, dude finally realizes how alive he is when the zombie apocalypse happens, and he's going to do a bucket list. Like, hey, eventually I'm going to become a zombie. At some point, I'm going to be a zombie. But here's all the shit I want to do beforehand. And it's like weirdly uplifting and motivational. Like, he's like, I want to be a superhero. I want to ride a motorcycle. I want a big screen.
Okay, I might have to look into this. Actually, I think the last anime I watched Brotherhood, FMA Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Attack on Titan the first season. I haven't seen anything after that.
Yeah, I'm watching more of it after that.
But I think, what was the one with the insect people on Mars?
What?
It was roach people.
Terraformers?
Yeah.
Oh,
I watched the first couple of episodes of that.
Of the new one?
No, this was years ago.
Oh, no, the original one is one of the most heavily edited animes ever.
My wife showed me the first few episodes and it was fun. I'm a horror fan. So, and I watch a lot of Splatstick and such, so it didn't really bother me. Actually, the censored stuff actually kind of annoyed me, because it's just don't
show anything.
It's like, okay, just black out everything. Oh well, I mean I know what's happening, but you're just
it's silly at this point.
Yeah, it's just silly to
don't air it if you have to edit it this much.
Yeah, but yeah, anyway, I have no idea what we're talking about today.
All right, I am actually going to bring you a twofer.
Oh,
twofer for the topher.
Wow.
I'm going to talk about Mambo Ayazan and her husband, Papa Loco, two of the Loa.
We're back on the Loa. I love it. Not to interrupt, but I've been enjoying the Loa, series we're doing almost. Yeah.
I'm trying to be respectful with this, because I know we mostly, we're talking about ghosts and cryptids and vampires. And the Loa are not that. The Loa are, they are the gods or the chief spirits of an entire religion. I'm trying to be respectful with that, because, well, one, every single one of them has a warning, if you disrespect me, it's your ass boy. That's, attached to every last one of the Loa. And Ayazan is no exception to that. Now, she is a Racine or a root Loa, so she's connected to the earth. One of her titles is the Queen of the Marketplace. Another is the Spirit of Initiation. And it's believed in lore and in the religion that she is the first Mambo, or the first voodoo priestess. And when she died, she became Iazon. She became Aloa. She became one of the gods. Now, she is synchronized with St. Clair, who I'm definitely not familiar with because I'm not Catholic. So there's a whole lot of those. But I want you to know something. Like I mentioned before, like the first Loa you make an offering to is Legba because he is the one at the crossroads. The second one you make an offering to is Iazon. You give her the respect she is due because if you're doing any type of ritual, you're calling on either her or her husband Loco because they're the chief deity of all priests and priestesses.
Now, my memory is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was like there was one of the, there was a character that was associated with Loa, one of the few, like, white.
That'd be Maman Bridget.
Bridget, okay. So
that is the wife of Baron Somedy, and I'll do Maman and the Baron in more detail. Yeah. I mean, I've already mentioned the Baron with the Gates of Guiana. But I'll give Baron Sammy his due because Saturday deserves a full episode because he's one of the most powerful. But Iazon is also up there on the list because, like I said, if you're doing a ritual, first you gotta call Legba,
yeah,
because you're open to the crossroads. Next, you need to call on either Iazon or her husband Loco because they're in charge of the rituals.
Now with Loco's name, is that like
it's not necessarily like with going crazy Loco, it's just Loco.
So it's more of a linguistic
a little bit, and when I get to him I'll explain that just a little bit more. But the origins, Iazon is again from the Fon people in Dahomey, which is in modern day Benin. And Iazon roughly translates to sacred earth. And much like some of the images I showed you of Papa Legba, where it looked like they piled up a bunch of dirt and carved a human face into it, the same thing kind of happens with Iazon. There's always a big mound of earth in the marketplace. And that is to be a representative of her because she is going to guard the marketplace. She's going to guard the women in the marketplace. But also, they might be built near temples to represent that she is the Loa of all priestesses. She is the first priestess and the priestess of priestesses. There's also a chance that there is, because, and this is where records get a little fuzzy because they weren't written down, is that she is more than likely also associated with more than one primordial ancestor spirits from ancestor worship and some earlier animism religions that were in the area at the time, that she kind of developed or evolved from those earlier concepts. And I think that's pretty neat. Now, we mentioned that Legba is like magic and crossroads. We mentioned that the barons are death. So, with Iazon, she oversees public places, which means in Louisiana, she holds a very, very special title that we're getting into the season for.
Oh.
She's in charge of Mardi Gras.
So, okay, so, like, when you say she's in charge of Mardi Gras, you mean, like,
She is the Loa that oversees it.
Like, so, in terms of, like, the Catholic ritual or just sort of the revelry?
The revelry. Because, I mean, again, like, the thing with Voodoo Voodoo is, and even some hoodoo, is that there is the Catholic element that mixed with the West African religion. But, so I mean, they celebrate Carnival, Mardi Gras here in Louisiana. But since it happens in a public space, and a lot of times it goes through the markets, this is hers. Like, she supervises it, she oversees it, she calls worship from it, because it is in her space, it is in her dominion. Which I thought was super, super cool. Now, the thing is that Iazon can be said to be neutral. She is moral balance, which means it's going to even out in the end. So maybe it's bad right now, but it'll be good in the end. Mm. But hey, if it's good right now, remember,
Something might happen.
Lean times do come. So it's like when we used to play D&D and we created, what was it, Mara? For the halflings, the goddess that was balanced. Like, halflings legit didn't want to be good, didn't want to be bad, because they wouldn't get to go where they wanted to. So it's like, hey, yeah, I've been doing a bunch of good, so I'm like going to go spray paint the side of somebody's building.
Yeah.
Like, they would do mischief to balance out if they did too good. And she's kind of that way. Like, she's, I'm going to make sure everything balances out and everything is even. And that might not necessarily be good for you in your eyes. But in my eyes, everything's good. Now, she is also the Loa of initiation. So anytime you have a ritual that you're bringing in someone new, you have to acknowledge her because she's the one that created the Kanzo, or the initiation of all priestesses. When priestesses or Mambos join in, they have to acknowledge that Ayazan is their mother. Now, this is the research I've gotten from several different websites, a couple different videos on YouTube. So if anybody's out there and they are a practitioner and I've said something wrong, just send us a message and I will.
Yeah, we're not saying that we're experts on this. We both have full-time jobs and we're both just kind of researching the best we can. And we are willing to make redactions if we need to.
Yeah, so if you got any corrections, I would appreciate it. Because also, it seems like with some of the other religions we've gone into, that there's regional flavors that differ from, like, even maybe, like, parish to parish.
But this sounds like a, like, you would call on her for, like, familial practices, like weddings and such.
Yes.
Or, like, you know, anointing a godfather or godmother.
Would fall underneath that. Fun fact, talking about anointing, Jesus' baptism could fall underneath her domain.
Oh.
Because that was him being initiated by his cousin John the Baptist into what would become his own, what would become Jesus' movement that later became Christianity. So maybe Jesus was into voodoo?
You know,
I have just made part of the internet set itself on fire.
I think it's cool, though. Like, I've loved the Southern. Like, there's an aspect of, like, I mean, there's voodoo, obviously, which you see in Southern Louisiana, but there is also, like, an aspect of Christianity that is, like, spiritualist and has a lot of superstition and kind of, like, almost paganistic interminglings, which just add more to it. Maybe that's just me as a non-religious person.
It's the lanyap that we have in our state. That little bit of extra, that little bit more flavor. Now, some of her other domains, she usually is seen with divination. But unlike Legba, that I mentioned, would not necessarily give you a straight answer. Like, he's going to give you an answer, and it is the truth. He is not lying to you. You just might not understand it. It's not that. She's playful with it. She has fun with it. She's going to tell you what you need to know, but it's almost like she's telling you a joke. And she's enjoying it. And this leads into fortune-telling as well with the divination, but there's also some possible connections to her with fertility, like you're talking about with inducting family members and all that, because there are rituals with her where you toss grain or you toss rice, similar to when people get married and you throw it. And part of it is that the birds are supposed to eat the grain that you throw and you wish when you throw the grain and they eat it, and then they carry it, the wishes, back off to her. Now, and I mentioned this earlier also, one of her biggest things is she is a Loa of protection, but specifically, she protects women, especially women that are in the marketplace. So if you try to...
We love a feminist icon.
If you decide to mess with a female vendor, you might earn her ire. And she's like, I'm definitely going to balance things not in your favor.
It's like, oh, you're going to trip on something, hit your head, and it's not going to be fun.
Oh, no, it's more of like, oh, where'd your wallet go? Where'd your wallet go? Ooh.
Oh, you forgot to pay rent.
Now, her symbols. And this is something I got wrong in the Dresden game because I used the snake. But the snake is actually supposed to represent Iowedo, who I will talk about. Iowedo and Dambala will be another twofer that I do because they're kind of they're the male and female aspects sometimes of the same entity. So, but with Ayazan, her symbol is a palm frond, the royal palm frond, or an earth mound. Her colors are white and silver, and a lot of times she will appear as either a young, tall, skinny woman Like, I mean, rail thin, like Flapper from the 1920s. Or she will appear as a crone, an old wizened woman that is hunched over with a cane.
So it kind of has the, like almost a Slavic sort of witch sort of vibe with it.
A little bit, but it's also kind of like Hecate, that there's multiple forms in the same deity. You also see the Trinity with the Christian faith, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the multiple forms for the same entity are, like, God forbid, go read Ezekiel with, like, you see 18 faces and a freaking angel.
Oh, yeah, biblically accurate.
Biblically correct angels with the face of Bob Barker.
It's just a bunch of circles and eyes with wings. What the fuck?
Freddie Mercury, is that you? Hello, darling. That would make that immediately more and less terrifying at the same time. What happened, Freddie? I was promoted.
Oh, my God. I could see Fred Mercury as an angel.
Freddie Mercury is a siren.
He is a siren. He is a saint. And
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Like, we stand Fred Mercury here.
But do you want to know the offerings to try to get her favor?
Yeah, actually, because I would like to get her favor.
Give her some yams.
Yeah.
Specifically stewed yams. Not just like, don't just, like, you could leave raw yams and she's fine with it, but like, if you left her stewed yams.
I mean, I would cook the yams for her.
Bananas.
I love me some bananas.
Some plantains.
Okay, yeah. Mm.
You could offer her palm fronds, her symbol. You could also gather dirt from the marketplace and bring it to her temple.
That's going to be hard in these days. Because the dirt and it.
Now, here's the bit that's a little bit weird, is I found some contradicting reports on this. You could either get some sweet liquor, like banana-flavored liquor, like a Banana Foster's liqueur. Like, something like that she would be fine with, but there's also, like, don't offer her alcohol at all, which is very rare for the Loa.
Loa loved their alcohol.
Now, also, this one is very familiar to Passover celebrations and some born-again Christians, bringing back some Easter, old-school Easter traditions, is that you can put a palm frond in the shape of an X over your doorway to receive her blessing, because you will walk underneath it every time. And some people think that's connected to like putting the lamb's blood over the doorway during Passover.
Oh, yeah, right.
During the Old Testament. I just think it's cool because palm fronds over the door, I mean, that'd make me feel better anyway. It's nice and pretty and green. I just change them out.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta spruce things up sometimes.
Also, getting favor of a lady that controls the markets and may balance out money in my favor is...
Yeah. Great. I will do anything to gain her favor if she's gonna help me with my debt.
But, I mean, it's not just that. All of the Loa that I've looked into have been incredibly interesting to me. And it's one reason when I ran the Dresden game more regular, I made sure they were involved and that everybody went and talked to different ones, because they're so unique and interesting and have their own roles. Also, I did research on them, so I wanted to make sure that they actually... It's like, I spent an hour finding crap out about them.
Man.
You're gonna meet this one. But, No, it's because also when my players learned about it, they thought it was really cool. And then they went and looked out on their own. And Izon, like you mentioned earlier, is being used as a feminist icon, is very accurate. The thing that I like about the Loa is when they're described, they're so close to humans in their behavior.
And you get that with, to some extent, I think, like, it might just be the way you describe the Loa. But I get the same thing with, I enjoy the Egyptian pantheons. And the reason why I do is because they're so flawed and so human in the way they express themselves. Even if you get into, Ra, who is the sun god, and you get into Bastet, and just all these, big gods and goddesses, they're kind of flawed, and they're not really like you wouldn't expect them if you grew up in a Christian society, like, what you would expect to be a god. Like, most of the time you would think of a god, if you grew up in an Abrahamic religion, as a omnipotent,
omnipresent, never like, does anything wrong.
Yeah. Gods in pagan religions are almost always...
Well, they're approachable.
Yeah. They are people in the sense that they are an entity with a mind infallibility.
So they're Batman.
Ra is Batman. Apophis is also Batman.
No. Horus is Batman because you killed my father.
I mean, his father was dead when he was conceived, but we don't talk about that anyway.
No, it gets weird.
But, I enjoy everything I learn about the Loa, and I feel bad that I didn't know more going into this than I did.
Now, continuing with the twofer, though, because I told you it was a twofer.
Yeah, it is a twofer.
Let's talk about her husband, Papa Loco.
Okay.
Now, he is the husband of Izon. He is another Racine Loa, which means he's another Root Loa, another Earth Loa. He is the spirit of the first voodoo priest, or Hogan, which I might be mispronouncing.
Hogan.
Again, comes from the Fon people in Dahomey, now Benin. And depending, you're supposed to honor him much like his wife. So a lot of times people will honor them both at the same time. Hmm. But depending on if it is a priest or a priestess, they may honor one without honoring the other, because the priests are going to lean more towards Loco, and the priestesses are going to lean more towards Izon. He is very direct, and he is known to be erudite. So unlike some of the other Loa that will be tricky, if you ask Loco for an answer, he is going to give you the shortest, most direct answer. So, like, he might literally tell you, you are being an idiot this. I don't have time to play games with you. Mm-hmm.
He's just going to give you the short answer. He doesn't have time to have a conversation.
No, he is legit this, and this. And he's been synchronized with Saint Joseph, Father of Christ. Because there's like three other Saint Josephs that I can think of off the top of my head. So he very much has this no-nonsense, just boom. He also has a feast day, which is... Some of the Loa do, some of the Loa don't, but it's also St. Joseph's feast day in the Catholic calendar.
I figure, like a lot of the Loa's holidays might follow with Catholicism.
Now, he is known to hang out and travel with Legba.
Good company.
And he may be connected to because you asked me about Loco with his name. There was a Arok, early North American deity, name Loquoa, L-O-U-Q-U-O, Loquoa, I think I'm pronouncing it right, that had a lot of the same elements that Loco carries. So there's a chance that it's a syncretion of West African, Native American, and Catholic that is in the history of Loco.
You see, this is why, okay, you know, barring all, like, political problems with America, like, the cultural... melting pot. This is why we're badass. Like, let's be real.
This is how we created some of the worst yet most tasty food, and that is, we're gonna slap so much shit onto a sausage and a bun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Cajun food. You wouldn't find Cajun food anywhere else but Arcadiana.
You see that thing that just crawled ass backwards out of a mud pile?
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it. That's what our ancestors did.
We're going to do that with food, we're going to do that with fucking religion.
It's one of the things you appreciate about our neck of the woods. Maybe not even just our neck of the woods, but the two continents, North and South America, have such a secretion of such a mixing of different cultures that it results in some really great... Now, there's some bad. We're really aware of that.
There's so much bad.
But it also results in things like we get jazz music out of this.
Yeah. We get blues music. And in turn, we get all modern American music. And it's really interesting to see that. Like, I'm not trying to disparage anyone's beliefs. It's just interesting to hear the potential origins of certain, like, certain practices might be melded to create a new practice.
Getting kind of back to Loco, though, with this. His main domain, his biggest domain, healing. He's kind of the doctor of the Loa. He knows all the herbs and plants that heal. He talks to the trees to learn new methods of healing from the trees. Because the trees are like, yo, dude, know how to heal this. And Loco's like, do tell. And then he'll share it with his followers. Now, he's also the Loa of all priests. He's considered the father of all voodoo priests. He knows all the religious rituals. He knows all the historic arts. He is there for spiritual guidance. Do not call him if you should know what to do. Like, if you have no clue, call on him. He'll help you. But if it's something you should know,
oh, no.
It's like, hey, all of a sudden getting caught by the teacher not doing your homework kind of situation.
So if it's something like, oh, this doctor should know how to, like, reset a bone, but he calls on him anyway.
Right. If it's something that's like legit, Loco goes, you know this. You're wasting my time. You will earn his ire. But if it's something he's like, oh, wait, you're asking me about cancer? Man, I'm still talking to trees on that one.
He's like, oh, that's bile duct cancer.
Ooh. Okay, what you're going to do is you're going to get a really sharp knife.
I got this knife right here, and I got a few prayers, maybe? You know. But that actually sounds pretty on point for everything you've said so far.
Now, here's where we get, like, some contradictory stuff. He is connected to royalty. Now, the royal family of Dahomey, which still exists in Benin today, that they're ceremonial, they don't really have any job, they claim that Loco is the primogenitor of their line, which means he would be the father of the Dahomey royal family because they claim divine right royalty. The problem is that would also mean that Loco would be the father of the people who started selling slaves to Portuguese. Because Dahomey's biggest their economy eventually became based on slavery.
Oh, no.
And the royal family had a monopoly.
Oh, no.
Now, flip that. He is also connected to Haitian independence because the Mapo tree is his holy symbol. And the Haitian Revolution started underneath a Mapo tree.
So either
he is the ancestor of the royal family that participated and extended the slave trade for well over 300 years, or he's like, yo, you want some independence? I can give you some independence. Think underneath my tree.
Okay, so here's my completely ignorant white opinion. One of these came before the other.
Because Haitian independence happened much later.
Yeah, okay, so maybe, well, here's my thinking is that Haitian independence came, and then this family was like, well, actually, you know.
Well, no, they claim, the thing is the reason that the Dahomey royal family was so well liked by Europeans is they were divine right monarchs in the age of absolutism. The Spanish king claimed divine right. The Portuguese king claimed divine right for why are they king? Well, God put me in charge. And the Pope said, backed it up. And the Pope's like, I backed it up. So Dahomey, they're like, hey, look, our kings are the descendants of a god.
Okay.
And so they were an absolute monarchist, and the Europeans and the kingdom of Dahomey were like, we understand each other. We use the same process. And then, like, Dahomey's like, hey, we'll sell you slaves. And the Portuguese were like, dope. And then they got pushed out by the Dutch and the English and the French. And the French eventually are going to take over Dahomey. And, the name Dahomey was used, like, all the way into the 19th century. And then when they started moving towards independence, they became Benin. But there is no divine right monarchies that are
the
descent of a deity.
They're just using the name.
Well, they did. They don't now. Now they just kind of exist. Now, do you want to know his symbols other than the Mapo tree?
Yeah, sure.
Snakes, roosters, gold, and white. So his wife and him have similar colors. But he's got snakes, he's got roosters, so I guess a cockatrice might be his symbol. Now, offerings to him, he will 100% accept white rum. Young, fresh white rum. He will also accept white rice, big bags. He will accept healing herbs. And if you do anything to help Haiti, you're earning his, like, yo, we're cool.
So, like, if you go to Haiti and give aid, he's like, you're
if,
good.
If
dude.
You do that, yeah, he is in support of that. And they're a great couple. Like, I used Loco as well whenever something really went south for the players in the Dresden game. They would end up going to see Loco because Loco could heal them really easily because Loco's a god. So, and everything about both Iazon and Loco to me are interesting because here are the mother and father of all voodoo priests and priestesses. They are the ones that have the knowledge. They are the ones you are to respect. They control the marketplace and they can control healing. So, like, these two Loa to me, even though they're earth Loa, they're root Loa, they're associated with, you know, nature in a way, they're also pretty much the Loa that are in charge of the beginning of civilization. Because here's a market where commerce is going on and trade, which means you have to have something developed. And here is the Loa that is in charge of healing, which is the first sign that society has developed, because the earliest note of human society is a healed femur. Because for a femur to heal and not be jacked up means that that individual that broke their leg had someone there to help them and take care of them. So it's why I think there's such a great aspect of the religion, because you give them the respect because they are, it's due.
Yeah.
It's due. But they're also not ones that most people talk about. Like, people have heard about Legba. People have heard about the Baron. People who've watched Child Play have heard about Damballa.
Yeah.
But Iazon and Loco, unless, like, you've looked into it or you've talked to people who know more about it, they're not ones that are generally out there because they're not... Okay, they're kind of flashy because all the Loa are flashy, but let's be honest. Somedy looks like the Shadow Man from Princess Frog.
I mean, there's... When it comes to voodoo and hoodoo, people are going to be drawn to the most...
Well, it's not just even those. Everybody's always drawn to the most flashy thing. Like, why is Jesus on the crucifix for some churches and not others? Well, having somebody that's been beat the hell up on that cross makes it more than just a weird T that someone mounted. So,
and at the same time, there's a lot of, like pre-Christian myths and gods that still persist to this day because they're... really flashy. And
why do we talk about Thor?
Yeah, we talk about Thor and we talk about Odin to an extent, but I think Thor is like a big one.
Thor is the big one, but that's also because he kept smacking Jotuns. But so, I mean, the big thing here is they're an interesting pair. I want to find out more about them because I know I only scratched
the surface,
but I think that was kind of the point. Like, anytime I'm talking about the Loa when we do this is I'm not delving deep. I'm doing a Cliff's Note because it's interesting, it's cool, and if you want to know more, go out and look for it.
Yeah.
That's what I got on this happy married couple as far as I've seen.
It's been really fun to listen to this. Again, I enjoy everything when it comes to the Loa and when it comes to voodoo and hoodoo. And it's really felt good to just learn something outside of, like, what I know. But in the meantime, if you want to catch us talking about other weird, spooky, or other spiritual things, we release this every Tuesday. We also do other things on our other channel. Team Bonus Action, which is on Twitch, and Hewitt, if you want to...
You can find us as Team Bonus Action at teambonusaction.com or on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, and you can also find us at bonus_team on Twitter.
And you know what? I ain't got nothing else to say, so... I hope you have a good night, day, evening, morning.
go out, learn something weird.
And bon nuit.
Bon nuit.